You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
You're listening to a classic Cooper broadcast here on The Hour of the Time.
The Hour of the Time may be contacted at HOTT, that's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have so much information on the Oklahoma bombing, and a lot of it has not been confirmed yet, but some of it is absolutely incredible. And I have to tell you that I believe this is going to pop wide open, and somebody somewhere is going to eat it. I don't know who exactly, but I'll tell you this. It ain't going to be no patriots, and it ain't going to be no militias. That I can assure you with 100% guarantee. We knew that Governor Keating was ex-FBI, and we knew that he'd been groomed from a very early age for some political destiny. You see, he punched all the tickets. As soon as he graduated from law school, he went into the Federal Bureau of Investigation for only 3 years, and then into another slot just for a short period of time, and then another one, each increasingly more responsible, more respectable in the public eye, and higher up on the ladder. So this man was chosen to fulfill some destiny. We know not exactly what, but we know that this Oklahoma bombing has something to do with it. You see, it was Governor Keating who claimed to have found the axle 2 blocks away from the explosion site, the axle of the Ryder truck, which was instantaneously traced. Later, he began to back away from that, and they brought out a police officer who claimed that he was actually the one who found it. And now a book written 7 years ago by Frank Keating's brother, Martin, has surfaced, and everybody is vying and bidding to publish it. This book, ladies and gentlemen, tips the hand. They claim that it's coincidence, but it is no coincidence. If you read the introduction to my book, you'll know that I don't believe in coincidences, especially coincidences of this nature. What is the nature? Oh, it's about a band of terrorists in Oklahoma. One of them named Tom McVeigh, who blow things up. And this Tom McVeigh, in the act of getting away from one of his blowing up actions, is stopped on a highway in a routine traffic check by a highway patrolman. Now, Martin Keating and Frank Keating, governor of Oklahoma, you can tell the world that this is coincidence, but I'm going to tell you right to your face right this moment, that is the most incredible bullshit I've ever heard, and you must think that we are so absolutely stupid that the entire world is going to buy your fabrications, go sit on it. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back with a little bit of illumination. According to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and I quote, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." End quote. And then again in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, and I quote, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. End quote. Now these two passages, ladies and gentlemen, are from the creation account, which, as said, is the same in essentials as accounts given in other sacred scriptures. But there are differences in detail among all of these various accounts, because each one of these has diverged somewhat from its parent or original source, and who knows how many times it has been told and retold, and a word dropped here and another one added there over the thousands of years since its first telling. There are those who claim that the universal wisdom religion, or secret doctrine of the mystery schools, is the source of this information. Now, this Hebrew version that I just read to you is seen by affinity to have been immediately derived from a more ancient Chaldean version, of which archaeologists have unearthed the records. It is a matter of fact. It is not conjecture. So there seem to be here two separate accounts of the creation of man, a fact which must have puzzled some Bible readers, but which is explained by the mystery schools, that man is a threefold being, so that three, or at least two distinct creations, can be recorded. In the Bible, the two accounts seem to have become transposed, and it is more logical to begin with that in chapter 2, that God created the soul, the living soul, and then later created the flesh, or the home for the soul on this earth. I don't know why people don't pick these things up, and I don't think that you can understand anything that there is by studying only the exoteric. Remember, religion is subjective and is based upon pure faith. It can neither be proven nor disproven, but is absolutely necessary to the well-being of man and society, for it is the source of morality. And I don't care which religion you show me, I have yet to find one that does not teach man to do good things. And it matters not what my religion is. It's probably not the same of yours. It may be. It may not be. Those of you who have been listening to this broadcast for a long time, you all know that I am a Christian. Now, it seems to be more logical to begin with the creation in chapter 2. And it is most important to observe that the Hebrew word translated God and Lord God is Elohim, which is a plural word, and in Young's biblical concordance is given as God, gods, plural, objects of worship. In fact, it means creative powers, according to the mysteries, and includes a large range of such beings or gods or spiritual entities, if you will. And the religion of theosophy, which I can guarantee you is the foundation of the religion of the New World Order, the whole universe consists of living beings endowed with intelligence in varying degrees. And all of them, ladies and gentlemen, creative each in its own sphere, according to Blavatsky's secret doctrine. Now, in the second of the accounts, which, as I said, it's more logical to take first, the Elohim form man out of earth and breathe into him the breath of life, making him a living soul. Now, this represents two stages of creation, physical and spiritual, or as they would say in the religion of theosophy, psychic. The word translated living soul is nephesh, spelled N-E-P-H-E-S-H, the correct meaning of which is given by Jung as animal soul. Next, we may find Elohim endowing man with their own likeness. Now observe the plural pronoun us and our and their and all of these other plural words. And when they endow man with their own likeness and thereby render him lord of the other animated creation, a student of theosophy, or one who has read or studied the secret doctrine, will be aware of the great importance attached to this ancient teaching of the dual creation of man in the eyes of those who are initiated, illumined, shall we say, or so they say. It's my estimation that anyone who lives their life by telling lies and deceiving and manipulating others with the mental aloofness that they are the elite and only truly mature minds are suffering a great delusion, which is a mental illness, a psychosis, if you will. But this is what they believe. They attach a great importance to this ancient teaching of the dual creation of man. It has been retouched out of the picture by theological dogmatism, according to them. Yet here we find it unmistakably, if in imperfect form, in our own Bible. And how can you explain this disparity? And I know that many of you claim that you can and have tried over and over and over again, but I have yet to find one who can really do it. The early races of mankind, according to any theory that you want to look at, including biblical, including the theory of evolution, whatever you want to look at, the early races of mankind were sinless, knowing not the contrast of good and evil any more than do the birds that hop and sing. You see, they lived in a state of innocence, as all animals, or all life that cannot think, do. They are innocent, truly. But like those birds, the early races of men were creatures of habit, and they lacked in originality. Now, this state is figured by the Garden of Eden. It's all played out in the initial scenes of the movie 2001, which lays forth this whole New Age religious philosophy. For those who understand the symbols and can read them, when you watch 2001, it's the same as listening to this broadcast. Only you don't need me to explain it to you. In the Garden of Eden, God had forbidden Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which was in the midst of the garden. But to Eve comes the serpent and says, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So man eats of the fruit and becomes, guess what? Enlightened. The result, ladies and gentlemen, is that he loses his previous state of precious innocence, but stagnant bliss, and becomes a responsible being. Now, check out that word, responsible. You know me, when I say responsible, I mean it. His newly acquired free will leads him, at first, away from the spiritual toward matter. Man becomes a pilgrim. Now, this story from the Mysteries is an imperfect version of a cardinal teaching of the wisdom religion, or Gnosis, which is found in fuller form in others of the world's scriptures. Sometimes veiled, sometimes reveiled, sometimes very clear. But the teaching is that the earlier races of mankind were mindless, being little more than perfected animals. But that in the course of evolution, there came a time when this mindless man received a quickening, if you will, an impulse from what the theosophists call the mana saputras, are sons of mind. Now, according to Helena Blavatsky, these were spiritual beings more highly involved than man, but who had their duty to enlighten the nascent mankind of this present cycle. And by cycle, I mean they believe that there are different stages and races of intelligence, which change with each changing age. And that is one of the keys here, for we are leaving the age of the last 2,000 years, or the age of Pisces, or the two fish, and moving into the age of Aquarius. Or the man with the water pitcher. Now, it was the duty of these sons of mind, as they call them, or the ascended masters is another word for them, to enlighten the nascent mankind of this present cycle, which Theosophy claims they did by lighting up or calling to light the latent spark of divinity within man. You've heard me discuss this before. After which, man, all of a sudden, became an intelligent race endowed with self-conscious mind. The serpent in the allegory stands for these sons of mind. For the serpent, ladies and gentlemen, as I've revealed to you over and over and over again over the past 3 and some odd months of broadcast, 3 years and some odd months of broadcasting, is a very well-known symbol of wisdom. So the so-called fall of man, though in one sense a fall, according to the Christian religion, was really an inevitable and natural step forward in his evolution according to the theosophists. And all this leads on to the question of man's redemption. I find this fascinating, whether you believe it or not, whether I believe it or not. Very powerful people believe this. And if they believe it, whether we believe it or not, is of no matter. It will affect us, and we had better understand what it is that they believe that causes them to behave in the manner that they behave that affects us so drastically. Some of you don't like to hear these kinds of broadcasts. Some of you close your ears and race out of the room screaming, "He's doing it again!" I know you do. And some of you sit and lap this up like a thirsty dog that has just crossed the desert. Some of you sit there stunned, shaking your heads and wondering, what in the hell is he talking about? Whatever it is that I am talking about, you had better get a grasp on it, because it is extremely important to know your enemy. This is the basis of the religion of the New World Order, which you will be required to adhere to. It is the humanist religion, the religion that says there is no God but man. It is why Christianity and all other Orthodox religions, the Orthodox Jewish religion included, for all of you wackos that claim the Jews are doing this to us, the fundamentalist Islamics, and anybody else will not bow down to Mammon. Now, I'm not telling you what to believe or what not to believe. I'm just merely telling you what the people who hold the power at this moment believe. The people who are putting together a world government. In this world, when they have completed the formation and placed the last puzzle in its little hole there, they will have one totalitarian socialist government, one world humanist religion, and two classes of people, the rulers and the ruled. Stop hiding and don't worry about getting your name on any list. There's only one list, and you're already on it. As George Bush would say, "Read my lips." New World Order. Unless you are successful in building some kind of a space vehicle where you can become Adam and Eve on some other world, you're going to be stuck in this New World Order. Unless we're successful at stopping it. So we get to the point of redemption, salvation, and atonement. These are important things to everyone. Even atheists think about redemption, salvation, and atonement. Isn't that what a New Year's resolution is all about? Giving up the bad parts and beginning anew, a salvation, if you will. The sacrifice of whatever you give up is the atonement, and for that you have a redemption. So you don't have to be religious. You don't even have to believe in any religion to understand what I'm talking about here. Because everybody fits into these things, and I guarantee you, even the most ardent, most devoted atheist at moments in his life, says, "Please God, help me." And that's sort of a gamble, you see. So we've seen how the gift of self-conscious mind to man changed him from a state of sinless but unprogressive bliss into the state of a pilgrim journeying through the path of experiences in the flesh, so that his communication with his divinity is for a while shut off, so that he loses his paradisiacal beatitude, if you will, his attitude that he lives in the Garden of Eden, that nothing can touch him, his state of bliss, but gains in exchange the power of self-conscious evolution. It brings with it the promise of one day attaining to complete manhood. Translate that God, if you will. Now, this last is what is meant by the word redemption. Man, after his fall, rises again like the phoenix, but rises by his own aspiration and endeavor. He doesn't need the help of anyone else, according to the mystery religion, according to theosophy, according to the humanist beliefs. It could never, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this sentence myself. It could never have been the divine purpose to create a puppet. Man was to be endowed with free will and responsibility. For without it, the whole thing is a joke. And any God would create man, preordained to function in a certain way and do certain things, with no possibility of redemption, salvation, or atonement, would not be any kind of God that I could deal with or even want to know. Because it means that you are what you are no matter what. You cannot change. Christ could not save you if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you could in no way atone for any bad that you'd ever done and become a good person. For if it was written in the beginning that all of these things are going to happen, no matter what, and there is no concept of free will, there is no concept of responsibility given to man, then it's nothing but a cruel, vicious joke. Now that's my belief. I believe that 100,000%. I believe everyone has a choice, and the choice determines the future, not only of the soul of the person making the choice, but the future of this world. You see, I meet every day people who say it was preordained from the beginning. There's nothing you can do. It's all in God's hands. And I have to say that I just cannot go along with that. And in the Bible itself, the Bible that these people use to justify their position has several, not one, not two, not three, not four, but several, many instances where God has said, this will happen. And guess what? Because some man did something other than what other men did, it didn't happen. And what about Job? He stood toe-to-toe with God and argued him into submission. So, anyway, that's my argument. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe what I believe. All I want you to do is begin to think about everything. Don't accept anything on anybody's word, especially priests and preachers and ministers. Learn to think for yourself. Learn to find the truth for yourself, because that is the only salvation. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My people perish from lack of knowledge. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. And all of this is caused by the inability of the common man to use his own brain. He must be told by someone else what to do, where to work, what time to get up, what to wear, what to cook for dinner, who to marry. And that is not the way that it is supposed to be. According to Bill Cooper. And according to many others. Get your copy just by calling. The number is 1-800-289-2646. Make sure that you explore the possibilities to get your hands on some real money. You know, when Alan Greenspan says that we're in danger of a small recession in the middle of a big recession, which they call a recovery, it's not going to be good, folks. They keep saying we're in a recovery and things are so great for the American people, but I don't know anybody who even has half the opportunity or whose salary goes half as far as it did 10 years ago. Our manufacturing companies are leaving the country because they can find cheaper workers elsewhere. What do you think all that manipulation with the Mexican peso is really about? Right after they signed NAFTA and American companies run for the border, and it wasn't after Taco Bell, I can assure you, all of a sudden, the peso plunges, and Mexican workers are making even less than they were when it was so attractive for American corporations to go down there to use them as workers. And we're scheduled for a big manipulation of the economy up here in the near future. What do you think all this G7 stuff is about? You know what they decided at G7? They're going to let the dollar continue to fall. I could have told you that. In fact, I did tell you that before they even met. I did tell you that. The dollar's going to continue to fall. It has to fall. You see, in a Marxist world government, there can be no middle class. You don't believe me? Read Marx. Study socialism. And you'll find out I'm absolutely right. And that's what's coming. You all wonder why so many illegal immigrants are allowed to come into this country. And they say there's no way to stop them? Baloney. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. You close the borders. You seal them tight. And you don't let them in. And all of you who would call me racist for that statement, you're full of crap. This isn't their country. It's our country. Do you know why they have to be let in? You know why they don't seal the borders? Because the more people who flood this country, who must be dependent in many ways upon big government, lay the foundation for socialism. And when the economy falls, they'll still be better off. And they won't listen to the whining of the middle class who didn't listen to the warnings of people like me. So call Swiss America Trading and get your hands on some real money. It won't lose its value as long as you hold on to it. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And do it now because you know that we are a nation of procrastinators. And if you don't do it now, you ain't gonna do it, Charlie. I'm sorry. just like every time I do something like this, the phone is ringing off the hook. So I just put them on hold and let their phone bill be eaten up, because you all know that unless I say I'm taking calls, I'm not. So you can dial your little fingers to a stub to the bone. I'll put you on hold and your phone bill can tick off the minutes and the money, if that's what you want. Because you're showing a great deal of stupidity when you do this, I'm not attacking your religion, nor am I telling you what I believe, except when I specifically state that I'm telling you some point that I believe. Nor am I telling you that what I am reading you is right. I'm merely telling you that this is what it is, and very powerful people believe it. If it insults your sensibilities and you are so religiously bigoted that you cannot even listen to this broadcast, instead of dialing your finger to the bone, turn off your radio and go to bed. That's the best advice that I can possibly give you. Now let me reiterate where we left off so that you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. It could never have been the divine purpose to create a puppet. Man was to be endowed with responsibility and free will. This I firmly believe. Now the mysteries go a step farther. I don't go this far. They say to be made truly in the likeness of God, and it is only by exercising these prerogatives that he can fulfill his glorious destiny, and man himself will become God. I don't go that far. I don't believe that man is God or that man can ever be God. When I saw Shirley MacLaine spinning around upon the beach, claiming to the heavens that she was God, "I am God," she screamed. With this ecstatic look upon her face, I wonder how she truly feels as she wakes up each morning and looks in the mirror and sees new wrinkles and has to go pay for another cosmetic surgery job. And when she gets her bills and still has to pay them. And then all of a sudden I know that some evening she'll be sitting in a chair all by herself in the dim light of her favorite room, probably. Maybe with a little touch of insomnia. And then all of a sudden she realizes that soon she's going to die. Now, I'm not knocking on Shirley MacLaine, trying to illustrate a point. For one who believes that he is God, or that she is God, what an impact it must be to confront mortality. Now, this doctrine that I'm talking about, it's one of those in part, now remember I said, that is common to all religions. It is a tenet, a basic foundation of the parent, what they call the parent wisdom religion, and like other such tenets is found in the exoteric religions of today in various perverted and degenerated forms according to the theosophists. And as an illustration, in John chapter 3, verse 16, you can read this, look it up, quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life," end quote. Now, folks, this can be taken both ways, either referring to the special sacrifice of a particular man known as Jesus, God in the flesh, which Christians, me included, believe in, and as many churches believe or teach, are to the sacrifice of the mystic Christ, the higher self in man, who through his attachment to the flesh loses for a while his brightness and freedom, but by that sacrifice eventually achieves the salvation of the flesh, raising the self of earth up to heaven, in which the higher self dwells. This latter interpretation is favored by what precedes the above quotation, and of course by the mystery religion and the Theosophists and all of these Freemasons who claim that they are Christians and point to the open Bible upon the altar. And some of you believe them. And I'm not knocking it. What I don't like more than anything are the lies, the deception, the bullshit, the manipulation. Of any people. For any reason. And the concealing of knowledge for the purpose of that deception and manipulation. Now in John 3 verses 12 through 15, which immediately precedes the one that I read, for God so loved the world, this is what it says, quote, "If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." End quote. Now it seemed to me, folks, that the writer of this gospel was trying to teach his hearers a truer understanding of the doctrine than the perverted one that was more or less prevalent. Never mind what you or I might believe, you have to understand that there is an exoteric meaning and an esoteric meaning. The Bible is one of the most esoteric writings upon this earth. And I can point to many indications of this. And even Christians will admit it when they say that Jesus was speaking in parables, and they talk about not casting your pearls before the swine. That's what it's all about. They're saying that there is a hidden meaning in the Bible, yet they refuse to acknowledge it. But whenever they want to pervert something and have it mean what they say it means instead of what it says or what it may really mean, they point to "cast not your pearls before swine" and all of these other things that say, "oh, well, it doesn't really mean what it says. You have to interpret it." Baloney. B-U-L-L-O-N-Y. And don't write me a letter and say I misspelled it. I did it on purpose. Fits right in with what I'm talking about. There's an exoteric and an esoteric. B-U-L-L-O-N-Y. Sometimes I love to do this. Other times I don't. Turning to Paul, you all know Paul. Everybody at one time has read at least portions of the Bible, and you can't study the Christian religion or even the Jewish religion unless you know who Paul was. He was a mystic and undoubtedly an initiate in some degree of the pagan mysteries. There's no doubt of that, as was John. We find the real teaching even more evident according to the Theosophists and the mysteries. You see, as has been remarked, Paul shows no sign. Listen to me carefully. This is absolutely the truth. Paul shows no sign of ever having heard of the gospel story of the life of Jesus and his crucifixion. Don't believe it? Get out your Bible and read every single thing that Paul ever wrote. All of it. Now this is incredible, but it's true. Paul shows no sign whatsoever of ever having heard of the gospel story of the life of Jesus and his crucifixion. It is of the mystic Christ, incarnate in all men, that he speaks. That's what he's talking about. And it only becomes evident when you've studied the mysteries and realize that Paul himself had to have been an initiate. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, he says, quote, "Our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed." End quote. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6, he says, quote, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, end quote. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, I quote, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, end quote. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, quote, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, end quote. Christians not having studied the mystery religion of Babylon and ancient Egypt would not understand that he is talking as an initiate. And this is very telling. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, end quote. Now, if you've heard my series on Mystery Babylon, you know that he is talking about eliminating the animal in man. Now, these are just a few, folks, of the numerous passages in which Paul expounds the subject. It is not easy to define exactly what his doctrine was, or that of the writer of the Gospel according to St. John. You see, the original pure teaching must have gone through stages of gradual transformation and adaptation to particular times and circumstances, as all teachings do. I don't care what it is. Go back and listen to Baptist preachers 20 years ago and listen to Baptist preachers today, and you'll know exactly what I mean. Go back 20 years ago and listen to a Roman mass, a Roman Catholic mass, and listen to a Roman Catholic mass today, and you'll see exactly what I mean. Religion may have been handed down by God, or it may have been made up by man. Religion may have been explained to us, and our salvation may have been guaranteed by Christ, or this may be an invention of man. You see, religion is based upon pure faith. That's why it's called religion. If it were not, if you could prove it, it would be called science, for those of you who don't understand that. Isn't it incredible? So it stands to reason, since religion may have been handed down by God, that salvation may have been given to us by Christ, or if you believe in Buddha, he may have taught you the perfect way of living your life, and many, many others, the Prophet Muhammad, who wrote the Quran. But it is men who takes what they have given and pass it on through the ages, and that is where things get all screwed up, especially in translations from one language to another. And I can prove all throughout the Bible that there have been mistranslations in every English version that I have ever laid my hands upon. So if you believe that your specific version of the Bible is the perfect inspired Word of God, that is your right to believe that. And you may be right, but you can't prove it, and neither can I, and nobody else can either. But I can prove that in that Bible that you claim is the perfect inspiration of God are mistranslations from the original version in another language. And you'd better be careful about that. Or, since religion is based upon belief, you can believe that those translations that were mistranslated were the inspiration that made your Bible perfect. It's okay with me. I'll fight for your right to do it, believe me. I'm on your side. The Gospel according to St. John. The original pure teaching must, ladies and gentlemen, have gone through stages of transformation, adaptation, mistranslation, political manipulation, according to particular times and circumstances. But if we study religions comparatively, checking what we find in one scripture by what we find in others. We shall sometimes, well, sometimes I'm chickening out there. We will be able to sift out the accidental circumstances and hopefully arrive at the common kernel of truth. You see, the idea of sacrifice is ancient and it's universal, meaning both the sacrifice undertaken out of love by the higher in order to redeem the lower, and, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners, the sacrifice which the personal man makes of his earthly desires when he aspires to achieve union with his soul. The theosophists, or the mystery religions, the Freemasons in their higher degrees, would say that he is achieving union with the God within. Christ is crucified for us, and we crucify our flesh with its affections and lust. Atonement, ladies and gentlemen, means making at one. A-T-O-N-E, at one moment. It's a reconciliation between the human and the divine. The New World Order is attempting to make a reconciliation between God and Lucifer, the rebellious angel of light that was thrown out of heaven as a lightning bolt to the earth. There is an important point to bear in mind in all this, and that is that we should abandon the weak and foolish hope that we can abrogate our own manly responsibility and secure a vicarious justification for our faults instead of reaping what we have sown and making straight what we have wrought awry. I have never seen evil in this world except in the presence of man. Take man out of the picture, evil does not exist. Period. We do wrong things that we know are wrong. And then we get down on our knees at night and say a prayer, and the next morning we get up and do something wrong again because in our minds we are starting over again. We have been forgiven, for we have confessed our sins and request forgiveness, and we were saved in the crucifixion of Christ. And so we perpetuate the wrongs that we have always done. And of course, what I gave you is a Christian viewpoint. It's not the only viewpoint. Atheists don't believe there is a God, so that they don't have to be responsible to anything except what can hurt them, which are all on the left. Control is never, ever on the right. The right is increasing absence of control. Far right is anarchy, which is just as bad as far left, which is total control or communism. People on the left, socialists and communists, try to fool everyone. And they say that people who want to control are Nazis and they are right-wing. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The farther right you go, the less control people want. Until you get to a point where they don't want any control. And that, in itself, is bad. So don't be fooled. Hitler was a socialist. Nazi means national socialism. If you don't believe it, look it up. Hitler was on the left. He was a socialist. The only difference between Hitler and communists was the degree of control which they wished to exercise. Understand? I hope you do. It's absolutely important for your survival in this world that you do. We must be responsible. We must abandon the weak and foolish hope that we can abrogate our own responsibility and secure a vicarious justification for our faults. instead of reaping what we have sown and making straight what we have brought awry. Again, it is the wrongs we have done to others which, according to the mysteries, Christ, or the Redeemer, is in all men. Though he may be, doesn't have to worry about this. The Buddhist follows the way that Buddha taught is the perfect way to live one's life. The Taoist, something altogether different. The Christian believes that Christ died for the sins of all men, but it does not excuse your actions and irresponsibility today, knowing that you have been saved in Christ. I love you all. Good night, and God bless you.
Liberated being in history.